Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 17. Yuktahara viharasya. Yukta cheta sukaramasu. Yukta swapna vibodasya. Yoga bhaviti dukaha. Yukta. Regulated. Ahara. Eating. Viharasya. Recreation. Yukta. Regulated. Chaitasya. The one who works for maintenance. Karmasu. In discharging duties. Yukta. Regulated. Swapna avabodasya. Sleep and wakefulness. Yoga. Practice of yoga. Bhavati. Becomes. Dukaha. Diminishing pains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Purport. Extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasad, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita, 9:26, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milk, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption, or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Avyartha kala tvam, a Krishna conscious person, cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasad, nor even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his bees 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interest. And thus his work is always regulated as untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, and sleep, wakefulness, and other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. Yuktahara viharasya yukta chaita sukaramasu yukta swapnibodasya yoga bhaviti dukaha. One who is regular in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So Krishna is continuing on with the idea of regulating the body, mind, and activities. And he's already said, one shouldn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much. And now Krishna uses the word regulated. This is also in the Bhagavatam, that prayena yalpasa sabda kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya upadrutaha. That in this age of Kali, people have but short lives. They're all great members of the Sabha. Remember, in this age of Kali, people have but alpa ayusha, a short lives. They're lazy, unlucky. See, they're unfortunate, they're lazy, they're lazy, they're lucky, they're unfortunate, and above all, they're always disturbed. Not a very good combination of qualities. When it says they're lazy for spiritual life. For sense gratification, they're quite active. And they're munda, they're slow. Slow means they're slow to take up spiritual life. If there's some material opportunity, they're quick. And if there's some spiritual activity, they think 100 times and then they refuse it. Manda, sumanda, sumanda. Mateya, manda, bhagya. And they're very unfortunate because even if they come in contact with a genuine spiritual organization or genuine devotees, they don't accept them. It's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for the truth. They're looking only to search for the truth. And if they found the truth, then their search would be ended, and then they wouldn't be a seeker anymore. But they pride themselves in being a seeker. And having nice little ladies seeking with them. And if they found the truth, that they had to control their senses, oh, this is not what they're looking for. If the truth isn't that sex life is something spiritual, then they're not interested in it. Manda samanda bhagya, mandya upadruta, and above everything, they're always disturbed. If you approach someone in the street and they say, "Why are you disturbing me?" as if they were completely peaceful before you met them. They just looked at you and became disturbed. So people are always disturbed. It's not that this coronavirus came along and people became disturbed. Actually, probably some of them just realized that they were disturbed. They were so busy. Their minds were so busy speculating on things. They didn't have time to figure out they were agitated, for the most part. It's like when we sit down to chant japa, before we sit down, we think we're completely peaceful. Nothing on my mind. And then as soon as you start chanting, you went, "Wow, my God, what's going on?" Where did this come from? I was so peaceful before I picked up these beads. I even know devotees who say, "Yeah, I started to chant and my mind became agitated." I can't chant because it agitates my mind. Therefore, regulation is quite important. And regulation is not just regulation like, you know, an army or something. You know, "Yes, sir." But this regulation he talks about is using one's intelligence. In other words, the mind is, as we've seen in the earlier part of the Bhagavad Gita, in this earlier chapter, that one has to conquer the mind. Now, how are we going to conquer the mind? Now, we could say we should conquer it with intelligence, but what does that mean, conquer it with intelligence? How does that, you know, intelligence conquer the mind? Go get him, intelligence. Here's a little sword, hit it a couple of times. I go, "Oh, stop, intelligence. I surrender, don't hit me again." No. So how do we, what do we do to conquer the mind? Well, here it says, it reveals the secret of conquering the mind. Regulation. Now the actual regulation, the ultimate regulation, is always smarta vyak satatam vishnur vismarta jatu na kinchit sarvavidhi nisedyasyor etiyor eva kinkara. Always remember Krishna, smarta vyak satatam vishnur vismarta Jatu na kinchit. And never forget him. That's the regulation. Now, because we can't do that, we have to go out about it in different ways. And here the yoga system is trying to regulate our activities so that we start using our intelligence. And the easiest way, the most obvious way of regulating is not the mind trying to fix it on Krishna, because we're not even aware most of the time where my mind is, but to speak of whether it's on Krishna or not. So the most obvious thing is how we're eating and how we're sleeping, because those are the things we do which are quite obvious. You can't, if someone comes up to you and say, Prabhu, are you eating? You go, no, I'm not eating. Why do you think I'm eating? Well, because you have that, your hands, and you know, it looks like food, isn't it? You have your hands in it, your mouth is full of it. What do you call that? No, you're just exaggerating, you're imagining. Or as Prabhupada used to say, if you ever met Pushima, Pushima in Bengali means ant. So Pushima was quite big. She was a, you know, normal Bengali lady. Very sweet Bengali lady. But she went, Prabhupada once said, yeah, I saw Pushima. She's so fat, Prabhupada said. I mean, he had a, you know, very special relationship with his sister. She's so fat, but she keeps on telling me she doesn't eat anything. How is it possible you can become so fat and not eat anything? So someone says, oh, I'm not eating. I'm not eating too much. It's just my stomach is expanding by, you know, by centrifugal force or something. So that's an obvious thing that one can learn how to regulate. It doesn't mean that you have to constantly look at your eating whole day long in order to regulate it. But it's something that you have to eat at the proper times. Now, modern man, they, at least from my experience on the airplanes, they'll eat anything put before them, practically speaking. I don't know. If I eat anything on the airplane or too much, really I'm sick. And they're just like, you know, eating everything, whatever, all these different, you know, they sometimes on long flights they'll serve like five different things, courses. I mean, I can hardly eat the crackers I brought. And they're eating like five different things, and you know, I'd immediately, you know, fall unconscious if I ate that much. And they're happily eating it. I don't know what happens on their arrival, but I can't. I think many people weren't killed by the COVID virus. They were killed by the food on the airplane when they arrived. They just blamed it on the COVID virus, coronavirus. In any case, people are not even aware of what they're eating sometimes. If you ask someone what you ate yesterday, they don't even remember what they ate. They don't even remember where they ate it. They don't even remember when they ate. In America sometimes, I don't know about here, sometimes you can see people walking in the street eating. Do they do that here also? Maybe ice cream or something. But sometimes you see them with a sandwich in their hand, they're eating on the way. And they're talking to their friend at the same time. So this regulation, eat at regulated times. I mean, the stomach will appreciate it, rather than being, you know, there's a being bombarded the whole day. Here it goes, here's another one. I surrender. Stop bombing me. Is at least chew it, my God. You know, how am I supposed to eat a whole apple at once? At least take out the pits. So people, they don't chew their food. They don't even taste their food. They're not even, as we know, because of the irregular habits. People, they don't, sometimes they're constipated for like 2 weeks at a time, and they think it's normal. And then they wonder why there's serious diseases. It's just God doesn't love them or something. It has nothing to do with what they're doing, because they're doing everything right. They're eating enough food, probably to sink a battleship. So they're sure they're getting all their vitamins. Therefore, this is a revolution. A reverse would be a revolution. And then they go to the extreme. They have these diets where you eat once a day. And unless you eat once a day, you're a demon. You're surely going to fall sick and go to hell. Yeah. Intermediate fasting. And if you dare say you should eat, you know, in a different style, it means that you're anti-health. You're one of those pharmaceutical people. So they come up with all these diets, and or else no diet. They even have things where you don't have to follow any diet. You just have to eat, you know, eat as much fat as you want. Sometimes they say, don't eat any fat. And other people say, the secret to health is eat fat, a lot of fat. You'll get all your vitamin B, vitamin B6 and B12. Not B12. I forget what it is. One of them is B6. What does fish oil have in it?
B12.
But what is that? Omega 3 and omega 6. That's right. Alpha to omega. I mean, there may be some truth in it, but something, but it's such extreme. You know. You read it and they think, you know, unless you eat these animal products, then your life is doomed. The health fanatics. They can't understand. Of course, they want you to eat only certain health foods, meat health foods, free grazing cows. Nothing about the fact when you kill the cow is full of anxiety and all the hormones. The adrenaline from the cow goes into the blood, into the, nothing about that. Oh, you're just happy cows grazing in the field. You kill them, they're happy. Oh yes, please kill me. I'm just waiting for this day when I can become an offering. Please offer me to Kali at least. So the simple fact is, health is quite simple, but it's very difficult for people. Just like Krishna consciousness is quite simple, but very difficult for people to accept. Simple is that don't eat more than you can digest. Oh my God, this is an impossible task. Don't eat more than digest, and chew your food. My God. What are they expecting of me? Only a Mahabhagwa could do that. Chew your food and eat something that's digestible. That's not, you know, wasn't killed in the last war and preserved. And chew the food and be conscious of what you're doing. You know, eat it with some kind of, at least with prasadam, we're supposed to eat it with some kind of feeling. Not, you know, alright, I get it for my health. You know, there's one chew, two chew, three chew. 20 chews, alright. It's down. we're supposed to have some feeling. The aim of life is not just to preserve the body for health. And if we, you know, we make it to 101, we've won. We get the prize. Oh, over 100, all right, you get the prize. But to actually have some consciousness in what we're doing, then if we're Krishna conscious, then everything else will follow. That's the idea of prasadam. We're supposed to think, this has been offered to Krishna, and therefore I should take it with some devotion. And devotion means that we'll also chew the food. Like Prabhupada actually used to chew the food. Although his teeth weren't the best, because Prabhupada didn't sometimes concern himself about that. Or he used twigs and things like that. And sometimes it didn't work so well. In any case, Prabhupada spent 40 minutes eating his food. He'd chew it very carefully. And he didn't talk what he was eating. He just meditated on the prasadam. So, it's not rocket science. If we chew the food, then it might even get digested. And if it's digested properly, it might even get assimilated. And if it's assimilated, it might even give it some spiritual and material energy. And then it'll probably get eliminated, the unnecessary parts at the right time. And we won't have to worry so much about the body. And if we don't do that, we eat at irregular times, or we don't concentrate on our eating, then we don't know what's going to happen the next day. Or we're afraid of what's going to happen, and the fear itself is itself to upset the body and give us good cause for fear. But if we're regulated, we know this is time to eat, I should concentrate on the eating, it should be done as an act of devotion, then if my mind is too agitated, then I shouldn't eat so much. So if my mind's too agitated, then the food won't get digested. Because we have to use the mind to actually taste the food, just scientifically. Unless we taste the food, how is the stomach going to figure out which of the enzymes to put in? You know, it's not that, you know, the eyes look at it and analyze it, and they say, you know, prepare these enzymes, dear stomach, because I saw it, I could kind of like guess what it's going to taste like. But actually the taste that sends the messages, the brain then sends the message to the stomach, this is what's coming, and then the stomach prepares the acid to digest it, at least, you know, to churn it versus the churning. But the whole digestive system begins with the taste in the mouth. And if we don't taste anything, then it's poison. That which we can't taste is poisonous to us. In other words, poison is that which we can't digest. Food is that which we can digest. And medicine is that which helps us digest the food. So we eat something, we can't taste it, then the stomach can't figure out how to digest it. And if it can't figure out how to digest it, it's poison. And the result is we'll get indigestion. We get indigestion, then we'll get ill health. Everything else comes from, all ill health comes from that. We get on ill health, we'll be spending all our time trying to figure out how to become healthy and forget about Krishna. In the beginning, the devotees are going to live forever because they're devotees. It doesn't matter what they eat, what they do, when they sleep, when they don't sleep, everything, because they're Krishna's servants and Krishna will take care of everything else. And when they get older, when they're sick, then they blame Krishna. And then they spend the rest of their devotional service taking care of their body. Or they say in the beginning, people of life, they spend their wealth, or they spend their health, they sacrifice their health to get wealth. And at the end of life, they sacrifice their wealth to get health. So one should try to become a little bit more balanced, especially chew the food, taste the food, honor the food, and also try to keep the mind peaceful by avoiding unwanted activities, unwanted thoughts, because then we can actually concentrate on eating. And if the mind is peaceful, we could also sleep. People can't sleep because they have too many disturbing thoughts. And if they go to sleep, then these disturbing thoughts turn into nightmares. And they're sleeping in hell for, you know, 6 hours, which is not recommended. So the idea is the tongue is meant for tasting, and we taste prasadam, and vibrating about Krishna, so the mind can actually think about Krishna. And the tongue and the mind are thinking about Krishna, or tasting Krishna prasadam, thinking about Krishna. Then we'll be happy and peaceful, and we can go to sleep, wake up on time, take prasadam, actually be regulated, and the body will be strong and healthy and not full of toxins. And the result is we can actually much more easily think about Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. In this verse, Krishna says, Yoga Bhavati Dukkaha, and Srila Prabhupada says that for the person who is regulated, there is no material misery. So is it just a smooth sailing, or is it some added mystical blessing that there's...
Well, regulation has a big subject matter. It's not that every day if we just do the same thing, that's necessarily regulated. And regulated also means with the intelligence and with the mind, as I said. Not that we just eat every day the same thing unconsciously. It has to be done as a matter of devotion, conscious. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions the word prasadam. The mind has to be regulated too, as well as the activities and the senses. Then there won't be any misery, because we'll be aware of Krishna. And whatever the body is going through, we won't be so much affected by it. And eventually, for actual transcendentalists who's on the higher platforms, they're not even aware of what's going on in the body or the miseries of the body, because everything is spiritual to them. But we're not on that platform. But we can minimize it. Everyone knows. When we eat less, we eat what we need, then we're less in misery. And if you do that every day, then after a while you won't be in misery anymore, at least perceivable misery, because the material world is always miserable. But we won't be so much affected, and instead it'll become easier to fix the mind on Krishna, to think about Krishna, and then whatever other miseries the body's going through, we won't be so much attached to or affected by it. But until we get to the platform of at least, you know, ruchi or nishta, or at least something like that, real liberation, depending upon our karma. I mean, some people doesn't matter what happens to their body, they're unconscious. And other people, they eat two extra biscuits, they're calling 9/11 to save them. 9/11 means emergency. So people have different awarenesses of their body also. But generally speaking, for most people, if you are unconscious of your body, it usually catches up to you after some time. Usually such people don't feel sick until they get some disease where they feel they're about to die. And other people, if they do anything wrong, immediately they get a reaction for it. Yes?
This verse also mentions recreation. What does Krishna mean by recreation?
Dancing, chanting, and feasting. That's our recreation. And Prabhupada said Vaishnavas have two things they can do. I mean, he only showed one of them. One of them is swimming. And I believe the other one is wrestling. So choose your sparring partner. I mean, Krishna was a wrestler, I guess. He wrestled against Kluvya Valpita and Mustika, Chinara, Toshala. So if one of them comes, you can challenge them. Especially Kuli Bhakpita. God! Krishna killed you the first time, I'll do it the second. Doesn't matter, you have the strength of 10,000 elephants, Krishna will protect me. Let's see, what did Krishna do? I'll go behind your tail and I'll pull you. Wait a second, pull. Krishna, help! Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanand.